The following sermon is brought to you by Springville South Church of Christ. For more information, please visit www.springvillesouthchurch.org.au.
Christianity is not a philosophy. You can practice any major religion in this world without its central figure and it'll go on. But one thing you know, you cannot have Christianity without Christ. You cannot have Christianity without Christ. Because Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with a living and a loving and a merciful God. Christianity is not a cult. Christianity is not a creed. Christianity is not a cause. Christianity is not even a church. Christianity is Christ Himself.
How are you all? Enjoying a little bit of sunshine and a little bit of rain and a little bit of wind and all that. Okay. So, I'm going to be talking this morning, but I do like a good dog story. So, Russell told us a mouse story. I've got a dog story for you. All right. So, mine's true too, I think. A shepherd once came to the city of Edinburgh from the country. He had a small, obedient little dog with him. And while he was there, the man died and was buried. That little dog lay upon his master's grave. Not for a day, not for a week, not for a month, but for years. Every day at 1 o'clock, a gun was fired, great big, one of those big black guns, was fired in the castle of Edinburgh, up on the hill. And when the gun was fired, the dog would run to the local baker, who gave it food and water, and then back to the grave it would go to sit. This continued until the dog died 12 years later. I guess we would call that faithfulness. We'll have the fist overhead. There is a statue of the dog. It is known as Blackfriars Bobby, and it's in Edinburgh. I had a photo of him too, but that's not mine. Mine wasn't very good. And he just sits there in Edinburgh, almost to the spot where he went all that time, to the old grave there. So since this is our AGM day, I thought I'd talk a little bit more about sort of churchy things, I suppose. And I wanted to talk about being a faithful, loyal group of Christians. I want to talk about faithfulness, being faithful. According to the dictionary, faithfulness and loyalty have similar meanings. Loyalty, the word, is not in the Bible because loyalty is a Latin word and our Bible is based on Hebrew and Greek. So loyalty, the word, doesn't appear, but faithfulness certainly does. But to be faithful is to be true to a person, group, belief, duty, or trust which you are bound to by promise, pledge, honour, or love. It's a very strong word. But the dictionaries have a very similar meaning for loyalty, except that they say that loyalty cannot be forced. Your loyalty to something cannot be forced. You give it voluntarily. Amen. And loyalty adds to the idea of wanting to stand and fight for that person, group or belief against the odds. So it's a stronger word in its way. But faithfulness. Paul wrote two letters to Timothy. And in it, he called Timothy faithful. So I did a bit of questioning for myself. Who was Timothy? Who was this faithful Timothy? And then what do Paul's letters to Timothy tell us about faithfulness for us? And then how does faithfulness apply to us? So, our next slide. To be faithful in our Christian walk, we need to learn to have what I called the four R's. We're a bit more update on the three R's. We've got four of them. Four R's. To be robust in Christian health, to be reliable in service, to be regular in fellowship. I like the last one. To never believe we are redundant in usefulness. Amen. That one's a bit round the world, but you can see, to never believe we're redundant. So, does Timothy then match up? He got called faithful. Does he match up? Number one is robust in Christian health. Who was Timothy? Timothy was a young man. He wasn't much older than Nathan. So that's how young he was, but old, of course. His mother Eunice, we're told this in the Bible, his mother Eunice and grandmother Lois were both Jews. And his father was Greek. His home was at Lystra in the Roman province of Galatia. Paul came to Lystra on that first missionary journey. And Timothy was probably converted then. We don't know, but we think that's a good time for him. As I thought about that, I thought it must have been really difficult for Timothy to live in such a mixed environment. Firstly, the Romans, and the Romans would have been very taken over the government and life of this city. The Romans didn't like either the Jews or the Christians. And the Greeks and Romans both worshipped many, many, many gods. So it must have been difficult for young Timothy. But when Paul came to Lystra again on another journey, he decided to take Timothy with him on his travels. What a privilege. Wow. And the local church leaders gave him their blessing. And from then on, he became Paul's constant, loyal, trusted, and greatly loved companion. What a life for a young man. In his first letter, Paul called Timothy my son in the faith. And he told Timothy lots of things. That he was confident that Timothy would do well. That he was fearless in his struggle. And he was to keep a firm grip on his honest faith and on himself. In his second letter, Paul expressed deep thankfulness for Timothy. He urged Timothy to hold to the truth he had taught him and to never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He had followed sound teaching. He must stick to the true gospel and not be sidetracked. He was to pray every way he knew. He was to go on declaring God's message, to press it home in season, out of season, come what may. And he was to pursue a righteous life, to run hard and fast in the faith. In other words, to be robust in Christian health. So Timothy passed step one, robust in Christian health. Secondly, to be reliable in service. What did Timothy do here and what did Paul say to him? Paul asked Timothy to minister in other churches that he'd established during his missionary journeys. Gave him that incredible responsibility. Paul had started the church, then Timothy was asked to be the pastor there at various times. He went to Ephesus. We know he went to Ephesus. We know he went to Thessalonica and to Corinth to assist. So he went there. How would you be, Nathan, suddenly doing that? Dad asked you to go off and minister somewhere else, and off you went, miles away. Not even by plane journey could you get back. You'd have to walk all the way. And that's what Timothy did. He went, he did what he was asked to do. Off he went. He packed his bags and went to these places a long way away. In his first letter, Paul wrote to Timothy, stay in Ephesus. Stay right there. And he must have been doing a good thing, good job, because Paul said, stay right there on top of things so that the teaching stays on track. He must have been doing it right. Although Timothy probably pulled his hair out with all that was going on in the Ephesus church at that time. Ephesus had been a big, powerful church, but it had become a mess. And Timothy stayed there. And Paul reminded him through that experience that we can all make messes of our lives. We can all do it. Even those who go to church, who are Christians. We can make messes. But Jesus came to save sinners, not to condemn us. To rescue and restore them wherever he went, they went. Now, Timothy was younger than Paul, and he kind of stood in his shadow and probably struggled with timidity and ill health. They didn't have great medical and Medicare and all those things then, in those days. And so things were going okay, and then suddenly Paul was thrown into jail. Bit like us not having Rosalind this morning, isn't it? Timothy was thrust suddenly into the position of having to take the primary leadership role, not just perhaps over the one church where he was at, but probably over the whole group of churches. Paul still kept encouraging Timothy, be reliable. And he said something really good. It is the power of God that keeps you going, not your own power. What a great message for us when things get tough. It is the power of God that keeps you going, not your own power. I'm glad it's not my own power. I really muck it up. But that I can rely on the Lord's power. Paul gave him some other advice, and I love these verses. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 to 21. All that I'm talking about is from Timothy's, so you can get home and read Timothy, and it's, they're great letters to read. And this was the advice he said to Timothy. In a well-furnished kitchen, there are not only crystal goblets and silver platters, but waste cans and compost buckets. He said some containers are used to serve fine meals, others to take out the garbage. And he said to Timothy, become the kind of container God can use to present any and every kind of gift to his guests for their blessing. And he's talking to us in the same way. Become the kind of container that God can use to bring him glory. Whether it's a crystal goblet, what is it, a crystal goblet? I don't know many of those. Or whether it's a sort of garbage bin. I'm not sure I know very many of those either. Just someone ordinary will do me, a plastic cup, that'd do. But to come that so that we can reliably present God's word. So I think Timothy must have passed this step to be reliable in his service for God, whatever it may be. Thirdly, does he match up in the regular in fellowship? Paul, and I think we've heard this a little this morning anyway, Paul had already written to the Hebrews about not forsaking the assembling of themselves together. That's found in Hebrews 10. The Lord had ordained that men and women who have trusted Jesus as Saviour should be involved in working out his will in local assemblies around the world. To be together. And Paul warned to not avoid worshipping together as some do. He gave some examples too of people who had avoided worshipping together. He gave their names. They don't mean much to me, but they probably meant something to Timothy. When what you are presently dealing with causes you to shrink away from church, from other Christians, and even from Jesus himself, that's the very time to come and have regular fellowship with others. How important it is right then. We can have an incredibly great impact on each other just by turning up. So you didn't think you were that important, did you? You are. Ruth, you are. Margaret, you are. Betty, you are. And I could go through the whole lot. All important. You have an incredible impact on each other just by turning up. We can come alongside and inspire others with the truth. The local assembly is where the word of God is applied to the circumstances of our lives. We are to encourage one another in regular attendance and to remain faithful to him. So I'm sure Timothy matched up with that one. He had to. He was the pastor, wasn't he, of these churches. Now, what about the redundant one, the one that I like the idea of? We're not to be redundant in usefulness. We assume, as I said, that Timothy went to church regularly. We assume that. He became the leader in Paul's place. Paul told him not to let anyone put him down because he was young. So Eden and Travis, etc., don't let people put you down and say you can't do things in church because you're young. Don't let anyone do that. It's important that you really believe that Jesus said it, you were told that. He was to teach believers with his life, by his word, his demeanor, his mannerisms, his love, his faith, and his integrity. He was to cultivate those things and not be diverted, to keep at it and to immerse himself in them. God didn't want him to be shy with his gift, but bold, loving, and sensible. I like the sensible bit on the end. Not to be shy with the gifts you have. Some of you have got gifts that you've told nobody about. I'm sure of that. But not to be shy, Timothy was told. And that includes you too now. And this includes Bible reading and things. This not to be redundant in usefulness. Paul wrote that every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another. Through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. Reading the Bible each day, it sort of does something in our lives and reorganises and organises us. So as I was doing this, I start to think that there's lots of talents in our small church. Got to get pages out here for you. And I came up with 50 plus tasks, skills and talents I know are in this church. No, they're just... And I made copies of them so that before you go today, take a list. That's two things you've got to take today. Take one of the lists and claim what you have. What you have. You have gifts and talents to use, and they're not redundant, remember. They're usable gifts that we can use here. And if you want to be involved with your gifts, start praying and reading your Bible to discover how you can be useful in God's service. I've got all sorts of things. I had a great deal of trouble putting them in alphabetical order. I've got accounting here, budgeting, caring. I know someone who does some carpentry. This is what I know. I'm sure there's others. Cleaning, collecting, community knowledge, computer skills and stuff. I know a few people who do that. Cooking, creativity. I'm not going to read the lot. They're the C's. Crochet. Then the P's are painting. Patience. Oh, who's got that skill? Praying. Preaching. Not me. No, don't put me in that one. And then I'll go to the last little bit, teaching, time management. Hey, that's a good skill to have. Typing, understanding, writing. And then I've got a space, so I put and more. So if your particular skill isn't mentioned there, if you can do something that's important and it's not redundant, add it to the list. Okay? You can use those skills. Nothing is redundant in God's scheme of things. So, and we're right, almost on time. So, would Paul call you faithful? He called Timothy faithful. Would he call you faithful? But more importantly, would Jesus call you faithful? Remember that statement in, no, I haven't got it written, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That's what we want to hear, don't we, when we get to heaven. Well done, my good and faithful servant. So overhead, please. Next one. There it is. Well done, my good and faithful servant. So this, and then we've got to be robust, reliable, regular, and never redundant. So this morning I thought we could make a promise to be like Timothy, to come to church every week, take part in the services and the various services that we do, to use our gifts for God's service, to be relied upon to do the tasks we have been given, or to come and suggest new tasks. Maybe in our annual general meeting later we'll hear about some of these new ideas and tasks. And to pray for our church and its ministry. Lots of things for us to do to be faithful, to be robust, reliable, regular, and never redundant. In a word, being faithful. Faithful as Christians and as people in God's kingdom.
We hope you've been encouraged from today's sermon. If you would like further information about Springville South Church, please visit our website at www.springvillesouthchurch.org.au.